This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Brisbane and Australian-based Local Legends in Running podcast. My name is Ollie Jones and I'm the host of the show and the founder of the Local Legends in Running brand, including online running coaching services. This podcast primarily involves a one-on-one conversation format with Australian and global elite and amateur runners, coaches, exercise scientists, and event directors, where you hear insights, opinions, and stories you'd otherwise struggle to find scrolling online. Today on Season 4, Episode 93, I invite onto the show Queensland and Sunny Coast runner Ben Tacey. Ben grew up and still resides on the Sunny Coast in Queensland itself, and he finished school up there at Emmanuel Lutheran College back in 2018 and thrived primarily in the 8 and 1500 metre events. Since he finished, he studied a sports management degree. He's traveled overseas to Sweden to train as well and run as quickly as 3:47 in the 1500 and 14:30 in the 5K. Bit of a fun fact too, he won that Sandgate Fast Burt Park Run that they do every year in winter this year in 2025, which is pretty cool. A lot of runners out there so deep that race. It's so fast. He's now also a coach. He started his own business, Be Taste Running, after coaching the kids for a few years, but also now working with adults online coaching there. If you enjoy hearing about Ben as a coach or athlete today, then hit him up on Insta for any coaching services. As always, I hope you enjoy the episode, guys, whether you're out for a run, maybe commuting to or from work, or potentially just doing some chores around the house. Thanks again for listening. Welcome officially, Ben Tacey, to the Local Legends in Running podcast.
Thanks, mate. Very honoured to be on here.
That's great. We're just talking off air. You've been a listener, well, to a few episodes at least, and Isaac Hayne was one of those. And wasn't that a great episode when Isaac had come on? And I'm sure you resonated a bit with him, you know, being a talented younger runner like yourself. But we sit here, Ben, on a Thursday. It's the 2nd of October. You might not know this, but I'm a school teacher. And right now it's school holidays for me, which allows me to do an interview at 9:47 a.m. on a Thursday. But what about yourself?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty involved in the school system as well. I do a fair bit of sport coaching and work at the schools. So school holiday is a bit of a quieter time for me. So just been for a nice little jog this morning and now got pretty much the rest of the day free till training this arvo.
Excellent, mate. So yeah, Thursday, what does a normal Thursday look like for you? Is this sort of a lull in between kind of a day for between sessions, that is?
Yeah, it is. I'm actually on a bit of an off season at the moment. So I finished up my winter season just over a week ago, now having 2 weeks kind of just jogging around, and then next week I'll get back into structured training. But yeah, typically Thursday is a lighter day.
Yeah, excellent, Ben. Well, off the cuff, I thought I'd just read out a few performances and times that you've put down this year, and particularly because you're a sunny coast guy, and even I sit here today, we sort of almost officially met each other online, which does happen as a podcaster at times. I don't know all the guests super well, but from a maybe a Brisbane point of view, to give the listeners an idea of how decent you are, and variety too through the year. Like back in April, you were at the Australian Champs in the 1500 with a 3:47, and the other one there was the, I'm losing myself here, the 5000, wasn't it? In a 1504 as
Yeah,
well,
we
and
weren't
that, I
talking
think
about
that
that.
was like a two race event, wasn't it? Like a faster and, dare I say, slower race, because everyone there is decent, but I think you're in that second race, weren't you, on that particular event? And well, before that, in the 3000 too, let's give a shout out to Queensland Athletics, because you're in the 3K champs there with an 18:18, and moving through to July on the roads at Gold Coast. From memory, I haven't got a placing in front of me, but from memory, you were close to top 10, weren't you, at Gold Coast?
11th at
11th
Goldie.
with a 30:30, and that 10K, I've been in it for years ago. I'm now more of a half marathoner, but it's such a deep field. So to come 11th there is fantastic. And yeah, the other one too, which I guess we have a little bit in common, because I'm sort of up the sunny coast too. We'll talk about, where you reside and all about the sunny coast running scene in a moment. But I have some accommodation up there that I get to on holidays. But the sunny coast half, you're in that too. Of course, with Andy Buchanan well out the front, followed probably with a gap to Liam Adams and then another gap to someone else. But I think you're in about eighth, weren't you there?
Seventh in the end.
Seventh. Yeah, with a 68:40. So yeah, looking forward to talking about this spread of events, where the focus is going to lie moving forward. But yeah, as always, we'll touch on some running news first, then get into, this is almost back to a quite a regular episode, Ben. You might have seen in more recent times on the podcast, I've been doing a few Road to series, rather, like documenting runners' training leading into events. I've had people like Tim Vincent on here after the World Athletics, but this is sort of back to the original kind of OG episodes where I sit here and get the listeners to learn about a runner like yourself. And we'll get into your training week. And you've sort of continued that coaching, and I found a little bit more prominently online, putting out some content too for the coaching and talk about those future running events. But let's get to these world champs, Ben, because we spoke about Kai Robinson a little bit off air. You guys are a similar age, and of course, like this has been spoken about a lot on podcasts since the world champs, but his fourth place there in a 12:59 for Australia. How good was that?
Oh, it's unreal. I think, seeing an Aussie genuinely be that competitive in the world stage and, what, within a second off the medals. And yeah, I'm still getting my head around it. It's unreal.
And tell us, you got a bit of story about Kai. You raced against him years ago. What was that about?
First race, March 2020, we had Queensland
Oh,
Athletics
just when COVID was
1500
hitting.
champs. He got me in that race. He won and it only ran about 3:54. So that was before he blew up. But yeah, we raced a little bit and then we actually went for a little run together last year in Sweden,
Oh,
which
really?
was had a little catch up there. Happened to be at the same meet, so that was good. But yeah, it's always inspiring following him.
Oh, it's an amazing journey Kai has taken. And the women's athletics maybe is arguably even stronger than the men's right now in terms of depth, that is, because Jess Hull was up there, of course, in that bronze. She medaled in the final for the 800 as well. A couple of the 5K runners were in that final too. I noticed another younger lady, probably a couple of years older than you, Ben, who's been in America for a while, Lauren Ryan, you might know, in the 10,000 as well, had a pretty reasonable result in the end. I think she was ninth place in the final. So it's pretty cool to see the women placing fairly high as well.
Oh, the girls are absolutely crushing it. Us boys got some work to do because they're doing it all. Yeah, those Aussie chicks, they're unbelievable.
It's crazy. And mate, I'm not sure if you follow much of the marathon, but did you see Saway in the Berlin Marathon, a 2:02
I did hear
marathon
about that.
in the heat, and like pretty bloody warm, and he's run a 2:02, which is not far off the world record. Kelvin Kiptum still has that in the twos, but that's pretty convincing moving forward. He's still pretty young, isn't he?
Yeah, how old is he?
Oh, I'd say I'm gonna have a guess here. Not too much older than yourself, I reckon.
Mm,
Yeah, I don't
early
know for a fact.
20s.
We could research that in a second, but he must be close to 25-ish.
Yeah. No, it's I guess Kelvin Kiptum is sort of, what was he, only about 21 when he came out running about 2 hours
Young,
flat.
yeah.
And that was
Yep.
his, he went straight to the marathon. He didn't have that kind of traditional progression of, 5K, 10K track, road, just bang, straight out 201 marathon. So I guess just, yeah, anything's possible these days.
Yeah, he's actually 30 years of age, Sawe. I've just done that
Oh,
research, so I was a
Kelvin.
little bit off there, but yeah, Sawe's moving into his 30s now,
Oh, yeah.
so he'll progress definitely. That's a ripe age for the marathon, isn't it?
Yeah.
How good's that? Have you followed much of what's happening for Melbourne coming up next week at all? Any mates doing that or any contacts?
No, I was in Melbourne last week, so I saw them setting up for it. But I know Rain is running, so I think this is the first time he's done a marathon in a little while. Should be good to see. But yeah, haven't had any mates or anything in that one.
Yeah, that field isn't. I looked at the men's field, it's not too strong at all. If Jack Rander can put together even a decent performance for the Australian contingent, he's likely to get some cash there. And the women's is quite weak, really, if we're being honest, compared to like none of those big names are there. And there's probably some that are almost double your age, Ben, out there running the marathon these days. There's none of those ladies. Millie Clark's on that list. A shout out to her, but yeah, Melbourne should be pretty exciting. I've got stacks of mates and friends in our club called the Bush Turkey Track Club in Brisbane, heading down there. So another mention for them. So no, yeah, no other contacts, of heading down to Melbourne.
No, it's a bucket list race. I think finishing on the MCG is, I don't know why there's more people not doing it. That's the best place to finish a race. So got to do
Yep.
that one day.
I guess Sydney now being a major in Gold Coast. Just being Gold Coast is a touristy place and so fast, maybe taking away a bit from that. But yeah, finishing the MCG and Melbourne is a fantastic city, isn't it? So yeah, looking forward to seeing if you head down there. Let's get to you, mate. I know you're studying. Haven't looked too much into your work away from coaching if there is another job there. And what else are you doing to buy time, man?
Yeah, well, I'm actually all wrapped up my studies now. So I
Oh,
finished
okay.
2023. Yeah, finished
Yep.
just out at UniSC here, did a sports management degree. And it was really good. It's a very they look after their athletes really well. Got a really good high performance program there. So definitely was in a great environment when I was studying there. And then now last year took a gap year and sort of traveled and spent most of that year overseas, but this year been back and just been running and yeah, coaching is sort of the main thing I'm doing for work, doing a few little gigs here and there, but that plus training fills up my week pretty well.
Yeah, okay. I guess we'll come back, excuse me, to the coaching. But so the degree you did is that aligned specifically for the coaching, or is there something, bigger in the picture that you're aiming for with that degree?
I sort of just jumped into it, not really knowing what I wanted to do. It wasn't until I got about halfway through it that I sort of aligned with a lot of the stuff that I was learning and really started getting a lot out of it. But yeah, it's sort of a very broad degree in that there's a lot of different pathways you can take from it. And coaching is something that I never specifically wanted to do. It's just something that sort of opportunities came to me and people reached out to me, and it's just sort of where I've found myself.
Yeah, it's sort of it resonates with me a bit, Ben, because I went through uni years ago, way before yourself, but at QUT in Brisbane and did an exercise science degree with teaching. So is it quite different to that exercise science sort of pathway and more about the sporting side? So.
Yeah, it's a combination of both. So it's got the all those physiological subjects. That's about half of it. And then the other half is the business marketing. Yeah, just the whole business world. So it's just kind of the best of both worlds and then putting those two together.
Yeah, excellent. So, is all the eggs in the basket of coaching now moving forward? Are you going to think about something else? But yeah, okay.
All in.
Excellent. We'll get to that shortly. Mate, you're a Sunny Coast man. So, what about that area? Like, have you got into surfing at all or the beach life? What's the background there? And we'll get to you as a young guy. But how about now? How do you buy time around the Sunny Coast?
Well, absolutely. Like as a kid, just just did everything, surfed, and yeah, basically grew up on the beach. I'm still pretty much there every day. Not surfing as much anymore, just because the Ks I'm doing, go for a 60-minute run, and then a 2-hour surf is a fair bit of energy. So just try and surf where I can, but yeah, just loving the lifestyle. I think that's the sort of blessing being based up here is when you're in the thick of the grind with training and everything, it's easy to get away from it and just, relax and, really enjoy those easy days and those off days. And yeah, I think that's a real unique position that we have being on the coast.
Yes, definitely. Well, let's head into this sort of running story background now. You sort of alluded to it there as a kid. As you may know, Ben, these podcasts, like I've got listeners over as random countries as Chile. Like Chile's on my list in the
Wow.
top five or six. It's weird how it works. People all around Australia. So when we talk about adding a bit of detail, it always helps, and particularly for the sunny coast, not being as prominent as Brisbane or another major city. Just tell us where you actually grew up around the sunny coast and what sort of environment that I guess you led around in the early sort of primary school years, and then sort of tied into when cross country came in.
Yeah, well, I've lived on the coast since I was six. Before that, was actually born in France and sort of moved around Europe for the first 5 years of my life. And then dad's from Perth and mum's from Vic. So we're sort of, when people ask where I'm from, there's not really a one definitive answer, but I'd say I'm a sunny coast. So I've lived here. I've grown up here. So, yeah, went to Kalluin, State School and grade five, the first year that you could advance past school cross country and go to districts and regionals. My PE teacher at school, he approached me one afternoon after school, and he gave me like a sheet, and it was this really important big deal, and it was an invitation to his training squad. Tony Doherty, his name. He runs T Squad. Not sure if you've heard of it, but
No.
this was back in 2011, and it's been going strong ever since. I actually coach there now, 15 years later.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, then I went along to T Squad and was never, I was always a sporty kid, played AFL in and every sport, but was never an amazing runner. I'd get about 10th to 15th at school cross country, but just did a little bit of training and was just instantly hooked. That feeling of being fit and just putting in effort and then improving and seeing a direct reward for my effort was just, yeah, just became obsessed with that. So then my first school cross country got second, which was huge, and then went on to districts and got second, and then went to regionals, and top six go through to state champs, and then I came about seventh or eighth, so just missed out and was really upset. So then super determined the next year, came back and yeah, just kept getting that little bit better each year.
Yeah, so just talk to us about how the Sunny Coast works for that representative stuff. You might have heard of, Met North and areas down here like Met Eastern, that kind of thing. Does it work similarly up there? Are there sort of as many areas, so to speak?
Well, like Met North, Met East, they're regions. So the Sunny Coast is just one region. And then within the Sunny Coast, there's probably about maybe 10 or 5 to 10 districts. So once you advance through your schools, you'll go to districts, and then compete against the other districts. And then if you go through districts, then you'll compete against
All of them.
everyone on the Sunshine Coast.
Yeah.
And then if you get through that top six, then you'll represent the Sunshine Coast at the state champs. And you'll compete against Met North, Met East.
Yeah. And from memory, that cross country, which normally is about a year five starting point, for rep stuff, isn't it? Was it a 2K, 3K? How long was
Yeah,
that?
2K. 2K. Yeah.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
that was a you're talking more so about sort of the year seven time there, end of primary school, or year six for you probably, wasn't it?
Yeah,
End of primary school?
year
Yeah.
five for me. Yeah,
Yeah.
grade two, and then went to grade three. Oh, sorry, went to 3K. And then went to 4K and then 6K and then 8K and then now 10K.
Yeah, and so then you headed to Emmanuel College, didn't you?
Yes,
Is that
that's
the
correct.
full name of the school up there?
Yeah, Emmanuel Lutheran College.
Yeah.
It's a private school up here.
Yeah, and how's your experience there? And what was the run like running scene like in a school like that?
Not a lot. I was probably the only competitive runner there. Back when I was there, it was more of a performing arts school, but now I'm actually back working at that school as a coach, and the new head of sport there, Matt Bradford, he's done an incredible job in in building the sporting program, and now we're actually a bit of a powerhouse. So I'm not sure if you know schools like Matthew Flinders and Gramo and St Andrews, but we're right up there, competing with them and at athletics and cross country days. So there's a lot more talented athletes there now than when I was at school. But yeah, like I didn't make my first state champs until about grade nine, I think, when I was at Emmanuel, and then didn't make my first national champs until I actually finished high school.
Yeah, so usually the pathways divide into two, don't they? Like cross country and then track stuff. How did those pathways look for you on both sides?
Yeah, track came a lot later. So I was always, we'd just get through in cross country, but I was always quite a little kid, a bit of a late grower. So I guess just at that age, it's the big, muscly kids who kind of
Yeah.
muscle their way through the 800 that would beat me. So it wasn't actually until grade 11 that I remember I ran 204 at regionals and got the state qualifier. I went through to states for the 800 that I actually got into the track. And then once I got into the track, that's where it was from there. Now it's pretty much all, I don't really do any cross country now. It's all track.
Yeah, so when you sort of at the latter years of, 11 and 12 there, what were your strongest events?
Oh, probably, yeah, 800, 1500. I remember I was trying out, my PB was about 200.01 in the 800 for about a year, and eventually broke two. And then the 1500, same again. I think I was on a 402 for maybe 6 months or so, trying to break four. So I think first year out of school, I broke four for the 1500. But yeah, I think 405 or 402 was my best in year 12 for the 15, and two flat for the 800. I didn't race the 3K at that stage yet.
Yeah, they're both such quick times, but like, doesn't it a year or so out of school changes so much? Even within school, that the sort of low 150s for the 800 is often where it's won at the national level, that is. But being around 2 minutes, like when I went through school years ago, that you were like just an absolute champion. And 4 minutes for 1500 is absolutely flying. So if we move on then to post school, did you continue training with the similar group? What did it look like, in the first couple of years out of high school?
Yeah, so actually, so I trained with T Squad that I mentioned earlier with
Yeah.
Tony, sort of primary school. Then I actually moved to Peter Box Group from grade 9 to about grade 12 or just after grade 12. We had a good group, guys like Alex Stitt. I'm not sure if you know him. He
Yeah,
went
he's
over
over in
to,
America, isn't he?
yeah, Oklahoma. He's run about 3:37. So
Wow.
he's crushing it. And Dan Bounty as well. He went to the Paralympics in Tokyo few years ago, so some good runners there. And then sort of COVID happened and the group sort of went its own ways, and then I found myself sort of just on my own for a little bit there. It was a bit sort of probably the first like real challenging time I had to face with running, because up until then, like when you're a kid, you're naturally growing, you've got a really good support network around you in schools, you're just naturally getting better every year, and you're not really, there's not too much self-reflection or reading into why you maybe had a good race or had a bad race or anything like that. But when I got out of school and I wasn't in under 20s anymore, I was racing in the open level against, grown men who were 5, 10 years more training experience than me, and was just going down to CUSAC at races and just getting smoked, and it was just not enjoyable. It was pretty discouraging at the time. So sort of developed a bit of a, I guess my relationship with the sport went downhill a little bit for a few years there when I first got into the open level. And was, yeah, went, was sort of training by myself. And then I found Brendan Mallion, who was just based here on the Sunny Coast, and he was training Peyton Craig. So then when I approached them and asked if I could sort of train with them, and went with them for about 4 years. And then just last year, I went overseas, so then we sort of went our own ways then. But me and Brendan are still really close. We still talk a lot, and he's yeah, he's such a great person to have in your corner, and yeah, I owe a lot to him for sure.
Yeah. Just tell us more about Peter, because that name hasn't come across my desk at all. I've searched for Peter in Google, Peter Bock, 349, 1500 meter guy, and born 1982. Would that be him?
Yeah, that would be him. Yeah, based on the coast, was a great runner, but I think he made a national final for the 1500 back in the day. So great runner, and he's coached some great athletes too. Some really talented. He was the absolute like peak of Sunshine Coast running about 10 years ago. So to join his squad was like, it was like a big deal if you made it into his group. Yeah, but he's an AFL umpire, so I think he gave it up to go and like fully get into the AFL umpiring.
Yeah, okay, excellent. Hey, let's get to your PBs, and I'd love to hear, like, we can look at PBs on our website, but we'd love to hear about stories and how things unfolded out there in the list. But yeah, as I sort of mentioned at the start, Ben, like, there's so much sort of variety here for you. Of course, most runners are going to cover all events in their career, but like in this year alone, you've run almost all of them other than the marathon. Which one are you most fond of, or
Oh,
actually ranks you the best? I'm looking at scores now. That's World Athletic scores, but do you know which one ranks the best for you
I
this
wouldn't
year?
know. I wouldn't know. I'd probably bet the 1500 or maybe the 3K. I like the 1500 is my favorite. Like that's the event that I want to pursue. And this coming summer, like now that the road season's over and it's all track now, I'm all in on the 1500. I'm not going to race anything over 3K. Yeah, the 1500 is what I love doing, and that's nationals next year. That's where I'm going to be lining up, trying to hopefully have a red hot crack at yeah, doing well in the 1500. That's what I love. And but no, I've definitely been a bit of a just sort of race whatever's on the calendar and
Yeah.
anything from 800 to half marathon. And it's good. I think it's important to have that range, especially younger, just giving everything a go. I know a lot of people that they'll literally only race one event. And I think you can kind of like shortcome your ability and exploring your capacity as a runner. So yeah, I sort of fortunately I'm decent at every event. There's no one event that I'm fully excelling in yet, but I'll give the 1500 a good crack this year.
Yeah, it probably looks like the one that stands out a little bit, I guess. But yeah, you're right. I'm really finding it difficult to determine which one would be the best out of the lot. So if we get to, let's hear some stories here. 2025, you've done three PBs, the 1500, which we spoke about before, 3:47. The 800, 154, that was at Cusack. And then the half marathon as well, we mentioned at Sunny Coast. If we go back to that 1500, that was at the Aussie Champs, wasn't it? How was your
Yeah,
experience there, and what did you place in that race?
that was amazing. That was a really, for me personally, that was a big deal. Like that was the one race I was really focusing on all season. I really wanted to. I set myself a goal at the start of the year to make that final, which was would at the time would seem really delusional given how much depth there is in the Australian 1500 meter running at the moment. But that's what I really wanted to do, and it would always be like. I guess over the years, I would always have my worst races in the most important races. Like come nationals would be my slowest race of the season. So it was really good that I could actually get to a nationals and have my best race of the season this year, have a PB. I think that shows a lot of development. But that was in the heat. I think I had Adam Spencer, Jack Anstey
Yeah.
in my heat and ended up coming seventh, but I really put myself out there. If you watch that race back, I was right. Jack Anstey took it, and
I'll
then
look
I
it
was
up.
right behind
Yeah.
him. Yeah, really gave myself a good crack, and was right in the mix at the bell even. But from 400 to 200 to go, Spencer and those guys just took off, and they just had the wheels and gapped me a little bit. And with 200 to go, I just had a little bit too much work to do. Came back a little bit, but yeah,
Anstey's
sort of.
fast, eh? He's very quick.
They've got some wheels, so
Yeah.
I've definitely got some work to do on that aspect.
And how many went through the final there, Ben, for that particular event?
3:44 is what made it through. So
Oh,
I think
okay. Yep.
12 go to the final across three heats. So I think four in each heat.
Yeah. Well, we'll just
Yeah.
stay here for a little bit because this event is stacked right now, as you'd probably know, globally, but also from the Australian level. Like, oh yeah, I watched this race, of course, but we're talking about guys like Cam Mize in this race, Cal Davies from Queensland, Adam Goddard, he must be from down south, Sam Blake, Clifford, Jesse Hunt, these names ring a lot of bells. Archie Ridgeway too. He's an old mate of mine from Churchy, coach there and a student as well. He's been training with Jess Hull as part of her training. But yeah, what do you make of this event? Like, if this is one you're going to sort of push, it's going to be quite difficult, isn't it, at this point in time?
Oh, 100%. But I don't want to choose the easy path. You know, I want to go where it's most competitive, and I want to race the best guys and see how I can stack up against the best guys at my best. So it's just whether it was competitive or not, it's just the event that I probably enjoy the most. I think the 1500, the beauty of it's such a middle ground for everything. You
Yeah,
got to
it's great.
be really aerobically strong. You got to have really good top end speed. You've got to be able to change gears And then there's that tactical aspect of positioning and race awareness, and so it just has it all, the 1500. And it's a great, I think it's the best spectators event as well. So I think physiologically as well, it's probably what I'm best suited to. So I just need to target my training specifically towards that event a bit more, and I'm excited to see what I can do.
Yeah, it's certainly different to the 800, isn't it? You can sort of get away with a lot of speed in the 8 with a bit of aerobic, but 1500, for whatever reason, 700 meters adds, it seems that the training changes a lot. The athletes who can run good 1500s, but also good marathons. It's crazy. There's not many that sort of run 800s and then marathons as well. So, but yeah, this we've got names out of there too in that list who weren't in that race, like Ollie Hall's missing from that list. Jude Thomas, these guys were over at the World Champs too. Who else am I forgetting? There's probably like 10 to 15 athletes under what 3:36-ish, isn't there?
Yeah, I know Will Lewis has run sub 340. Max Shervington, 338 guy as well. So
James Benson was in that race too.
there's probably 20 odd guys in the country, maybe even more, who have gone sub 340, which is it's pretty impressive. Hopefully, I'm one of them.
Yeah,
I'm
I'm
not too far
sure.
in the future.
Yeah, I'm sure it's equally as motivating too, away from it being competitive, that to be inspired by these guys and how many are on that list in the 15. But if we spend a bit of time there. If we get to the other PB, I've lost that list there. I've clicked into that event. What was the other one? The half mara this year and the 800.
So that 800 was just a bit of a, that was a bash, just down at one of the Shield meets at Cusack. The great thing is in Queensland, there's so many talented juniors, like we were talking about before. So you can get down to those Shield meets and, just a random weekend, and there'll be, three guys who can run about 150. And that's what that race was. There was, I think I came about, I don't
Yeah, I've
know,
got the list up now.
sixth or
Fifth?
something in that,
Yeah, fifth.
within that race.
Your
So
mate JPW in that one, third.
Run
Actually,
151.
I was super impressed with that time.
Oh, he
He
surprised
seems to
me.
be more of a longer distance guy, well,
I
moving
know.
forward anyway. And Harry Bowmaster from Gold Coast. Taylor Goodwin too. He's state high kid, ex-state high kid, or he's still in school?
I think he's done now. But Brizzy Goldie based.
Yeah, so some weapons in there.
So keen to have a good crack at the 800. I think it's important to have a good 800 to run a good 15.
Yes,
Going to
still need
raise a
that
few more
speed.
of those. Yeah.
And then the half marathon, mate. Like this is 21 kilometers now, and we're just talking about 800, two laps of a track. Like so much different. And usually it takes years to get to your best here. I'm sure we've run a better half marathon than you have, although it's an amazing time. Because just the overall volume for years adds to that capacity to bring that time down. How's your experience at Sunny Coast against some of the best, well, the best marathon in Australia? Andy Buchanan was out there.
No, it was amazing. Because that's my local race, so I just had to do it. I probably had about 8 weeks of proper training leading into that race, and had no idea where I was at, and I didn't know what line to take in terms of pacing or sort of how my body should be feeling at sort of the benchmarks in the race. So it was sort of raw dogging it a fair bit, but once we got over those first two hills at Alex, and it was all flat from there at about 7 or 8K, it's just amazing. Turning around and coming back through the masses and the crowd coming the other way, and so many people out there who knew me and cheering me on, and I actually felt amazing as well running at that sort of an intensity for me. That, half marathon pace, it's quite an enjoyable intensity.
Yeah, I
You're
love
not
it.
redlining,
It's
not like a
great.
5K, but it's sort of like a, you're still, you got that nice balance of working hard but being in control. So I was feeling great all the way until about a K to go. I had a bit of stomach issues, lost about 40 seconds in the last K, which was a little bit disappointing. But overall, I was happy. And it's like obviously not my pet event right now, but I think in 5 or so years' time, when I'm done with the track stuff and give the half a good crack, I'll really enjoy that distance.
Yeah, it's such a fun event. Hey, I love seeing the young guys or girls have a crack at the half marathon, particularly if they've run events more so like the 800. It must, like the turnover, the cadence, the speed must feel awfully slow. But equally, then you haven't got that overall volume that some of the runners have out there for long runs or weekly mileage, too.
It's a bit nice, racing 1500s, running sub 240s, 230s, and then going running 310s. It feels pretty good on the legs, but then also being out there for an over an hour, it's got to be, it really matters what's going on in your head in those longer races. I think it's a more of a mental battle than anything.
Definitely. On that list, obviously the 3K. I'm going to be open here and say that that's maybe the weakness on the list. 8:17. Oh, they're all great. But what do you think? The 3K, you probably not run often either in general and for yourself.
I reckon I'll probably say the 5K is the weakness, definitely on the track. But yeah, just there isn't a heap of 3Ks here, and I think that 8:17 I ran about 18 months ago now. So
Yeah.
yeah, I'm keen to race a couple more and hopefully go 8 flat, or close to 8 flat as possible.
Oh,
And
you must be close to that. Surely sub 8:10 now, hey, with a 3:47,
yeah.
1500. And then, yeah, the 5000. We might just bring up Sandgate Parkrun here in Queensland and just north of Brisbane, because that's a probably now a worldly event recognized for being the quickest, that is, for 5K. We don't have many 5Ks, as you know, on the roads, that is. You can go and do a QA 5K, hey, Ben, but on the roads, you've got to really probably just do Gold Coast. That's really it. Or you go into like Noosa, Sunny Coast. Often they're like later in the morning. It's hot. The depth isn't great. But Sandgate allows the runners like a park run to run so quickly. You've got 14:37 here at UQ track there in 23. But you've run quicker, haven't you, slightly at a park run? Tell us about that
14:30.
one.
14:30 at Sandgate. That was back
Yeah.
in 2023.
Yeah.
But then this year, ran 14:31 and managed to get the win there, which was, Sandgate's, it's been such a special race for me. I've done it 5 years in a row, and each year slowly just climbed up the ranks a little bit more until I got to number one. And me and Jackson Patterson Wright had a real good battle. Just got in by about a meter. But it's such a unique event in that it is a park run, and there's literally nothing on the line, and it's all just for fun and the vibes. But it's also all the best runners come and do it, and it is so competitive, and there's definitely, people aren't taking it easy. They're having a red hot crack, and they're absolutely ripping it along that esplanade there. And I think it's the perfect course in that it's exactly 2.5K out and back, and it's broken up perfectly, that there's no sections that are too long and boring, and there's not too many
Yeah, I agree.
turns, and it's just perfectly broken up. And then as soon as you kind of turn around and get off the jetty, you feel like you're just home. And that stretch is, before you know it, you're back coming around past the park into the swimming pool, and you're kicking for the finish. So it goes so quick. And yeah, it's just, it's so sick that we can have something like that up in Queensland. And for as long as I'm in Queensland, I'll be there on June 16 or whatever, doing you got to mention how good the weather turns on for that race.
Yeah,
That's
it's
5 years in a
perfect. Yeah,
row
yeah, yeah.
where the weather's just been absolutely perfect. So something's going right down in Sandgate. Don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, I guess in Queensland, like it's more likely to rain in the afternoons, but we probably winter more so on the day. But either way, it's run at 7 a.m. in Australia and Queensland, and often about 10 degrees, low humidity. It's like absolutely what you want. Hey, after a warm up, you're just ready to go. You're sort of. Right now, the humidity has just sort of turned in Brisbane anyway, and it's so different to running in those conditions. But yeah, for perspective, like I run a 16:30-ish there a couple of years back, and I think I was 80th that day. And I think if I run that same time this year, I was probably closer to 100. So it's also really humbling for guys like me who are far off you, Ben, but sort of start to think they're half decent, and then you go to these park runs and you're like, oh, I'm not actually that good at all. But I'll keep doing this because it just motivates you to get out there and sort of understand how many runners are actually quite fit and fast. And then you put together the idea that a lot of runners aren't actually there who live in Brisbane and Queensland or even Australia. Like imagine, it's just like a hypothetical of imagining that anyone who can get there got there. It would just be ridiculous to see what we can run across 5K across this country.
Well, if you just got everyone in the country just lining up in a 5K,
Yeah.
you gotta that's probably the next challenge for them. They gotta stagger it in some way, because if you're running like 16 or more, by the time you actually hit the start line, it's been about 30 seconds because of the depth on that path. And so your actual time on park run might say like 17 minutes when you've actually run like 16, 20. because of.
I'd love to see the road being used potentially like a Noosa Bolt kind of vibe. Like
Yeah.
use the road for maybe the really elite, like maybe even a different event. It's not parkrun now, it's like closed off.
Yeah.
And maybe the weekend of or weekend near it and say, hey, if you sub 14:45 or 15 or something, that we'll get it on the roads and then get the masses maybe back on to the parkrun. But yeah, it's hard because the idea of parkrun is to get people active, really, isn't it? Whether it's
Yeah.
someone blind at the back walking with a dog or an athlete like yourself winning a Sandgate parkrun, it's about involvement, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. They don't want to go too far away from the core product of what parkrun is. So it's working for now. So I think just they should just keep it rolling for as long as they can.
Yeah, well, let's get into this training week like now. And I'm interested to see where you train up at Sunny Coast. As I mentioned at the start of the conversation, Ben, I've got accommodation up there that I sort of share with family in Twin Waters. And it's such an amazing environment to train in. The first time I went out around Majimba, that is, there's a great loop that I know you love and you'll talk about shortly. But I did some 1K reps, I think, just on Nojor Road, Nojor, sort of weird spelling. And again, thought I was half decent running 320s, I think it was, for a handful of 1K reps. I'll jump onto the segment. And there's, yeah, some pretty famous athletes out there from memory, like some from down Melbourne, maybe Ben St. Lawrence. You might correct me on some of these segments, but I've seen some women out there. I know I've heard Moose Julian Spence talk about it on Inside Running. I think he's been around there. But athletes on that list who are in like marathon sessions and completely smashing me in 1K reps. So it's pretty humbling. But that area there obviously is a little bit away from where you live. But can you sort of talk about the locations that you have access to first and then get into your sort of Monday to Sunday?
Yeah, so I would say Sunny Coast is a really good place for running into location wise in terms of what we have. Like obviously the beach footpaths, but then it's only a 15, 20-minute drive inland and then some real nice dirt roads and trails like Beerwah Forest or up north, like Noosa National Park and in Perugian around Lake Weber there. That's another spot I love. And then Bly Bly, Burton's Road Bly. I think you DM'd me about that place a couple of weeks ago as well. It's a great,
Oh,
it's like a
the
4K flat gravel
Burton's Road, is
road,
it?
Burton's Road, Bly Bly. That's another go-to for me. And they're only like 15, 20 minutes out of town. So if you've got a bit of time, you can get out there. But yeah, Majimba for me, like in my road season, it was just an absolute staple every Wednesday morning. I'd go there and it's just the perfect place. Like I'd go get a coffee from the island, the local cafe,
Yes, lovely island.
watch the sunrise while I have my coffee and then go do my warm up. And then there's this in that little bushland there next to the caravan park, it's an exact 2K trail along this little river. So you run 2K out, 2K back. It's a perfect 4K warm up. And then the loop itself, it's 4.7K and it's dead flat. And you can get on the main road because the speed limit's only about 60. And there's not a lot of cars,
Pretty
especially early in
quiet.
the morning, not a lot of cars there. So you can get on the main road and you can just run laps and laps and do whatever sort of session you need to do. But for me, training for 10K and half marathon road, just something about it. It's all shaded too. There's trees
So much
over the
shade.
top the whole way and then finish off with a dip in the ocean and get a brekkie wrap from the Island Cafe. And it's a pretty good morning. So, no, I love it. Yeah.
And you've also got the track. I don't sort of know exactly where that track is, but what about south of the bridge there in Maroochydore? What areas there do you sort of run around in?
So heaps of running out at the uni, the athletics track, and then there's a 2K road loop around there. We call that Monza. Don't know why that's sort of the name it got. And then there's another bigger 5K loop around there. So if you want to do some threshold stuff and then finish on the track for some speed, it's a really good setup. And that's where I do a lot of my coaching based out at the track. And it's so popular. The amount of groups there are, especially on like a Thursday arvo, there's triathlon groups, sprinting groups, beach clubs, like social run clubs, and yeah, good luck trying to run in lane one on a Thursday arvo out there because it's just packed. We need to get a second track on the coast, I reckon, the way that Sunny Coast running is going. It's just booming at the moment.
Yeah, there's not many in Brisbane even as well. Sort of a handful of tracks around the city itself. That'd be nice. But yeah, I was really pleased to see the Sunny Coast Marathon extend that marathon event itself actually across the bridge and over those roads, in Majimba. It was great to be out there to witness that. I was watching Brett Robinson pace Grego and Jen on the bike in the marathon event as well. But yeah, it's hard to, I sort of, as a runner, I just like, it's hard to explain to a non-runner, even runners sometimes, how good these areas are. Like, there's just so many little factors that make it. Like you mentioned, the shade, there's wide bike lanes, it's dead flat, the roads are long, they're like smooth, the surface. It's almost like the road cuts through really dense bushland either side too. So it sort of feels like you're on a trail, but it's just the asphalt, which I find a bit more forgiving and faster than the concrete.
Definitely that. And especially if you've, I remember the first time I went out there was with some of the running company boys here a couple of years ago, and we had a real good session, and it was such a good morning. And especially if you've got those good memories of, you hit really good splits and you felt great of those first few times going out there, you just have such good associations with it, and you just kind of quite become quite fond of that place, and it's just kind of like your like happy place. So that's what I'd say for me. Majimba's like my happy place with running.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm so glad Dad bought the unit that we go into there a couple of years back. And just that entire coastline is fantastic for and cycling too for those and ocean swimming. Where do you stop here? Mate, let's get into your Monday to Sunday then. How's that looking now? Like we've just hit the warmer and summer part of the season, I guess, where events come off the roads and get into to track stuff. So is that your focus now for the next few months?
So it'll change. It's just finishing the winter season. I might talk about what I was doing there because it's gonna change in the summer. But basically, Monday morning, easy 60-minute jog, just nice and cruisy, and then Monday afternoon, I'd get out to the track with the squad. So Brendan Mallion's group there, a bunch of juniors out there, and we do like pure speed work. So we'd warm up, we'd do heap, probably like 20 minutes worth of drills, like sprinter drills, some plyometric wickets, even some skipping. And then we'd do some like fly zones, like 30 meters, absolutely ripping, just really working on that top end speed. So even as I was in this block training from a half marathon, I actually ran a 200 PB. So I was able to get down to 23 seconds for the 200.
What, 23 seconds? What? That's crazy.
So that was about on the back of Peyton. When he was getting ready for his world champ. So had a bit of a toe there. So
Yeah.
that's Monday. And then Tuesday morning is an easy, I'm normally a little bit tender from the sprinting. So Tuesday's just an easy day. I'll do 12K in the morning and then 8K in the arvo. So double there. And then Wednesday morning will be my like race specific session or threshold session. So that's when I go to my gym bar. I'll do like a 30-minute threshold, anywhere sort of 30 minutes to 45 minutes worth of running at 10K or half marathon pace. And then I'll gym on the Wednesday and then go for an 8K double Wednesday arvo. And then Thursday's a bit of a bigger, easy day. So I'll do 16 in the morning and then I'll do 8 in the arvo. Friday will be my easy day. So I'll either just go for like an 8 to 10K easy run. Or if I'm feeling a bit banged up, just take Friday off. Saturday will be, again, just like a threshold session in the morning, just pretty cruisy. I'm normally pretty forward, just keeping everything controlled, and not doing too much work over threshold in that VO2 zone. I like kind of just getting the volume in and just kind of ticking it off rather than really just putting myself in the well during
Yeah, so like
sessions.
really fast, short stuff and a lot of threshold work.
And in the past, I've done a lot of that. Like a lot of my sessions were just on the track and just 200s, 400s, just ripping it at like 1500 pace, 3K pace. And I just felt like I was just banging myself up too much to really get the recover and get the adaptations and get the volume in I needed to. So now I've just focused on dialing that intensity back and keeping it controlled
We
that
got
I
sort
can
of
get
three
in.
days here, don't you? Three harder days. So you kind of have to, don't you?
Well, I sort of treat that Monday not as a proper session. It's more of just
Like
strides.
extended strides. Yeah, I was going to say
And
that. Yeah.
then the Wednesday and the Saturday is like the key sessions.
Yeah, this is very different to what I and my squad do. A lot of Brisbane runners, actually. So it's quite interesting hearing this. And then what about leading into Sunday?
Well, then the Saturday I'll hit the gym again and then another 8K double. And then Sunday will be the long run. In the winter, it'll be 2 hours, just an easy pace. So sort of getting around 27-ish K for those 2 hours.
Any hills there around Sunny Coast? Not that there's many on near the coastline, but
There is, yeah. I like to get out to
got a Budrum,
Birrawa.
I guess. A bit, yeah.
Oh, Budrum's a bit brutal. Don't run up those hills. But yeah, get out to Birrawa, and it's just nice rolling gravel hills. So yeah, a bit of elevation on that long run. But yeah, it ends up being like my biggest weeks will touch about 150K. But that's not every week. Like I'm probably averaging over the season 120 or 130. So it's a little bit up and down, but I'm looking to sort of, yeah, keep getting that volume up and consistently hit around the 140s. Because I'm sort of someone who responds well to that volume and is pretty good with injuries, like can run a lot of mileage without getting too banged up. I've never really dealt with anything bad in the way of injuries, which I'm pretty lucky.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it looks like you've learned this at a pretty young age to maintain the strength work and not overdo
Oh, I
that
love the
faster
gym.
stuff for sure.
Yeah.
Where was I getting to now? Oh, yeah, so the coaching stuff now. So, yeah, I just want to hear about who you're coaching. Have you done any sort of accreditation towards coaching? I saw you writing some notes down in some posts recently on Instagram or a story or something. And then, like, also how you sort of see the coaching in terms of, like, you sort of mentioned that philosophy kind of stuff right now in terms of not overdoing it, but any kind of outlooks that you have as a coach you might have learned through being an athlete.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's been an interesting journey with coaching for me because, like I said, it's never something that I wanted to do. It's always just people have reached out and say, "Hey, Ben, can you come and help out with the squad?" Or, "Hey, I need an extra numbers to manage the group. Can you come help out?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure, I'll do that." So it was actually Tony from T Squad, which is where I started running 15 years ago. The squad's still going strong. There's about 100 athletes there. And he
Jeez.
asked me to come along And then there was another lady who ran a similar situation over the summer, and she asked me to come along and help out. And then the next season, she actually said, "Look, I'm too busy. I've got two kids who are full on in triathlon, and I'm not going to be able to do this. What do you think of completely taking the squad over for yourself?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll happily give that a go." So then that next year, I came back and completely ran the squad by myself of about 20, 30 kids over the summer. Sort of little athletics season. And these are kids between ages 10 to 15. So I don't like to train them too much below 10. I think when they're that young, they should just have a bit of fun and just give everything a go. And they don't need anything serious or sort of private coaching at that age. And then just absolutely love it and just thought this is what I want to do. And then from there had really good feedback and had parents reach out to say, like, "Hey, can you do extra sessions with my kid? Can you do private sessions with my kid?" So this year I've started doing that and getting more and more into that. And then I've had the Emmanuel reach out for me as well, asking if I can come on board initially just as a sort of cross-country athletics coach. But I've been coaching like AFL and touch footy and all different sports there, which is great experience. So I think for me, it's so important. Like, as I was talking about before, when I got into the open level, and I was struggling mentally with the sport, and it was probably about 3 years there when I was in a pretty bad headspace with the sport, and I was fit and I was training well, but I'd just go down and I just couldn't race. I had really bad race anxiety, and especially the more important the race was, I just the worse my performance was. It took a long time to really kind of get over that, and took a lot of self-reflection and realizing my sort of unconscious motivations with the sport, and a lot of the reason why I was doing it was coming from the wrong place. It was coming from sort of a sense of neediness in order, like needing a result in order to feel good about myself, like needing to run a certain time or like needing to win in order to feel accepted or to feel good enough. And that was just creating me to race with so much fear. So it became I'll just a short story I'll go into. When I was overseas
Yeah, go ahead.
last year, I was overseas for 6 months actually by myself. I was based in Sweden, and I remember I did a bit of a summer season in Europe there. My first race in some random town in the middle of Sweden, and just being on that start line and no one knowing who I was at all, and I just didn't care at all what anyone thought, and it was just this huge weight came off my shoulders and this huge sense of freedom of like, I'm doing this for myself at the end of the day. I'm here because I love running and because I just want to be, the best version of myself. And I just enjoy the experience of racing and enjoy competing and pushing myself and seeing what I can do. And so I ended up winning that race and I ran a PB. And then the next two races, I went to Bislett Stadium in Norway and ran a race to 1500 there and ran a PB, and then went to Belgium and ran another PB in a 1500. And it was all of a sudden just this completely new identity in my relationship to racing. And then since I've come back this year, I've been super consistent and just been able to race with this sense of freedom and joy and this sense of not being attached to the outcome and not defining my self-worth on the outcome and the times next to my name, which is, I think, a lot of people can tend to do in running. So that's sort of I guess that's been my journey the last few years, and that's what I'm really passionate about. And I guess that's why I coach, is because you see so many young kids coming through the ranks who are so talented, but for whatever reason, and it could be parents or it could be, external influences, that they just have really bad relationship with the sport, and sport is something that they see as really stressful and they just feel this huge pressure on them. And so it's so important for me with the young athletes that I coach that they develop healthy relationship with the sport over anything, and that they're doing it for the right reason and coming from the right place with wanting to compete and wanting to do well. And they're not attaching their identity to winning or to results. So that's sort of, these lessons that I've learned. I just, when I was going through that a few years ago, when I was growing up, I wish I had someone there for me and that older mentor who could guide me through those times. And so that's what I want to be for these younger athletes, for if they're struggling or if they, need that extra assistance with the mental side of their racing. And I can really be that person for them. And obviously, you do want to run well, you do want to win, you do want to perform, but you don't want to do that in sacrifice of you don't want to be doing that from a toxic place.
No, I'm glad you've had that sort of realization, and often it comes at an older age, so it's good that you've had it now. And yeah, you continue to learn about it really being about yourself, particularly someone like me who's never going to be anywhere near you or someone more elite. Like, it really is about, like, I'm sure that mental, emotional side of it too, that you get out of just getting out in the morning, training as well, is something you're learning that is part of being a runner and not just being an athlete who's purely doing it for a time or performance, which is great. So yeah, I noticed you sort of created a side Instagram page this year. Is that an actual business now, or is it, and have you done any, I'll go back to what I mentioned before, not that it always matters these days, but I guess it does help to a degree, doing like courses or any accreditation like through AA or anything like that?
Yeah, so I've done, obviously I had my degree where I learned a lot there. I'm currently doing my level two, developing, I think it's level two performance and development athletics coach with AA. It's just waiting to get time in for a course. I've done my level one and I'm doing some like bronze and silver like badges. There's this whole coaching online portal where you can jump into that, and
Excuse me, I'll be in on that one. Yeah, it's great.
yeah,
It's fantastic.
it's amazing. But I've always just been a nerd with training and listen to podcasts and from coaches in America. And I think Mike Smith is a guy that I love. I've learned a lot from him, and Steve Magnus, John Marcus, even Mads Tashbol from Denmark. Not sure if you've heard of him.
No, I haven't.
He's super super nerdy sciencey guy. So just learning from the best in the business, and yeah. But no, I'm always looking to upskill my level. But something you realize and you probably learnt yourself, you don't learn any more than when you're actually doing it. It's one thing to know all the theory, but then to go out and stand in front of 20, 30 kids, it's a whole different ball game. So I think that's where the real sort of learning and skills take place.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So what were you saying before that? What was the other part of that
Oh,
question?
yeah. So is it this new side gig
Oh
an
yeah.
actual business with an
Yeah.
ABN or anything like that yet, or is it still unofficial?
It's an actual business. Yeah. So B Taste Running, that's the name of my coaching. So we've got our summer squad, which I was mentioning just before. That'll start up in the late November, December, and that'll run through to about March, April for the whole athletic season. And then doing, some private coaching and just starting to get into the online space as well. With had a few adults and mates reach out to me for some coaching. So and it's to promote that. It's to promote myself as an athlete as well for potential sponsorships and that sort of thing, to help support me. And then it's also just to, I think with the lessons I've learned in the sport, just to also have a voice and, maybe help people who are going through the same thing or going through things I've been through that can see that as a source of inspiration. And, I'm fortunate enough to be in a position now where I can lead this generation of younger kids, and have sort of been in the game long enough to help them out a bit. So yeah, it's a multi-purpose thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's so multifactorial. But yeah, if I can get an athlete or two at all to attend your coaching services, then I've done played my part. That was the whole premise of this thing. So started 3 years ago doing this was really just to get the stories of people and promote them in any way. And if it's business, then fantastic. I coach myself with the adults too. Don't do the young kids as much as I was. Now at Nudgee College, teaching there, but I was coaching, and it is a difficult space. It's a very there's a lot happening. There's a lot of coaches out there. It's really flooded online too. A lot of content being thrown out. Do you sometimes sort of view things online that you really sort of question? And I'm seeing a lot of coaches too who've got nothing behind them. There's no qualifications at all. I'm talking to a guy now who's got a degree in working with AA, but what about the ones who are just putting out this random stuff, hoping someone's going to connect with it, which may be inaccurate way of training or coaching.
Yeah, it's sort of just the world we live in where, anyone can create a platform and put a post out there and it goes viral. And I've definitely seen some videos of, technique tutorials and whatnot that are a little bit misleading, and it's sort of shake my head a little bit. But I think it's just so important to surround yourself with the right people. And I guess just it's easy to get caught up in that. There's so much stuff online, so I just focus on doing what I'm doing and doing it to the best that I possibly can, and leveling up my own game, and try not to get too distracted with what other people are doing. And that's sort of their problem. I think, eventually, if their athletes get injured or whatever, they'll come to me or come to someone who can hopefully knows what they're doing a little bit more and can help them. But
Yeah, well, speaking of content, if it represents the quality of a coach in any capacity, I love the Majimba one you did. It's sort of the coloring, the tone in the clip. It was only like 30 seconds long, but it sort of got me inspired, got me excited to run around that area and running in general. So that those little things can help, but ultimately it comes down to the person, the actual coach, and what they're doing. So yeah, wish you all the best with that, and I'm sure we'll be in touch with running and coaching to some capacity. But we've gone over just an hour here, Ben, which is pretty standard. But future running. So what events are on the calendar for this year? I'm sure there'll be some QA ones. And then, yeah, what are the bigger picture plans for next year?
So we've got the 1500 Classic in about a month. I'll give that a bash. I won't be fit, but I'll just have a crack. I think last season I only raced two 1500s for the whole year before nationals. So I was just going in so raw. So my goal is this year is just to race as many 1500s as I can and really get comfortable over the distance before the big meets later in the season. So 1500 Classic, maybe a couple 800, like Shield Meet 800s before the end of the year. But really from now to the end of the year, it's just about building fitness, getting used to my new training program, and getting a really solid base behind me. Potentially going up to Falls or Perisher in January. I've done that a few times, get a bit of an altitude block there. And then come back sort of from February till Nationals in April. The dates just got released, I think April 9th to April 12th.
Yeah, it's always about April time, isn't it?
Pretty much racing most weekends. Hopefully can step up a level in my racing, like can get into some of those track classics and those bigger like silver level AA meets,
Yeah.
as opposed to just racing purely locally in
Yeah, that
Queensland.
low 340 mark will get you there, won't it?
Yeah, that's the goal. Just race at that higher level. And yeah, I just want to compete. Like, I don't get too excited about running fast times. I just get excited about racing. Like, I just want to win races, and I just love that. The very thing that I used to get chronically nervous about is the very thing that excites me and I just want to do now. Like, I used to shy away from the competition, but now I just want to race. So I just want to like get the best guys in the country and just see how I stack up against them. But yeah, that'll take me through to nationals, and then I've got plans moving abroad again next year. So we're gonna look at getting a visa and heading back over to Sweden in Stockholm next year. It's where I spent a bit of time there last year. So I just think, Sunny Coast is an amazing place, but I just can't see myself reaching my potential as a distance runner here. I just don't think there's quite enough in the way of the stuff at the elite open level. There's amazing stuff for the juniors, but they all go to college or move abroad. So I think I was over in Sweden last year and just the setup over there, and made some great contacts, and sort of love the lifestyle that and the training style that they live. So head over to Sweden and do a Euro summer, and then I've said to myself I'm all in till 2028. LA Olympics. It sounds crazy delusional now, but I think it's just, why not have a crack, see how close I can get. And I don't know if I'll still be running come Brisbane 2032, but I'll see where I'm at then.
Oh,
And
you'll be running, mate. Running for life. That should be the motto.
if I can one day ever put on the green and gold of some sort, that would be incredible. I think that's just it would hit different putting on Australian colors. And
Yeah, and there's
yeah.
so many ways. Olympics is one of them, isn't it? But World Champs, we just had that. Cross country is there always as an option too for runners. So
Yeah,
there's
and the
different.
World Road Champs too is a great event.
Yes. Agreed. Agreed. Yeah. Well, thanks for your time today, mate. I haven't had many Sunny Coast guests on the show, so it's great to hear about the areas up there and how your training's traveling. You might know Ella McCartney. She's been on
Yeah,
here.
yeah.
Jason Crowther, the event director of Sunny Coast, actually. He was on before that event, but I can't recall any others away from that. So it might be about three that I've had on here from
There
the
you go.
Sunny Coast. And yeah, as I sort of acquaint myself better with the areas as a runner too up there, it's yeah, it's just great to hear more about it. And yeah, I'm sure we'll get out for a run. Might not be a session, but it might have to be an easy
Yeah,
run.
mate.
But
If you're
can't
ever
wait
up
to
at the
speak
gym
to you.
bar, let me know, eh?
Are you looking for a little bit more guidance and coaching for 2025 and 26? Touch base on the Local Legend in Running Instagram page and happy to talk further to you. I coach a number of athletes on their way to races such as 10K, half marathons, and marathon events. Welcome.